Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 1, 33. These are questions by Vidura. He's asking Uddhava. Translation. This is Vidura asking this question. As the Vedas are the reservoir of sacrificial purposes, so the daughter of King Devaka Bhoj conceived the Supreme Personality of Godhead in her womb, as did the mother of the demigods. Is Devaki doing well? Purport. The Vedas are full of transcendental knowledge and spiritual values. And thus Devaki, the mother of Lord Krishna, conceived the Lord in her womb as the personified meaning of the Vedas. There is no difference between the Vedas and the Lord. The Vedas aim at understanding the Lord, and the Lord is the Vedas personified. Devaki is compared to the meaningful Vedas, and the Lord to their purpose personified. I'll read the verse again. As the Vedas are the reservoir of sacrificial purposes, so Devaki, the daughter of King Devaka Bhoja, who conceived Krishna in her womb, as did the mother of the demigods, Aditi, because Aditi was the mother of Vaman, is it? Vamanadev. So he's asking, is Devaki doing well? He's inquiring about the welfare of Devaki. Yesterday he inquired about the welfare of Krishna's uncle, Akrura. And today he's inquiring about the welfare of Krishna's mother, Devaki, different Yadavas. So in this verse we have this, Traiyata Yajyavitanam Artam. Traiyata Yajyavitanam. So it says that Yajyavitanam, the spreading of sacrifice, and Trayi, the word Trayi means Vedas. But if we think about this a little deeper, because Bhagavatam is unlimited, so the word Trayi actually refers to Trayi, or tree, the three Vedas. Because in Treta Yuga, the religion, the bull, the Dharma Brisha, right, bull of religion, Dharma Brisha. The bull of religion, he lost one leg. There's Satyuga, Treta, Dwapar, and Kali. So in Satyuga, he was standing very strong and stout on all four legs. What are the four legs of the bull of Dharma, the Dharma Brisha? Satyam, truthfulness, then Socham, cleanliness, then tapam, austerity, and then kripam, you say kripam, mercy, doya, mercy. Mercy, cleanliness, austerity, and truthfulness. These are the four legs, the support, the foundation, the basis of religion. So he was doing very fine in Satyuga. Everyone was a devotee. Everyone was a yogi, absorbed in different aspects of the Lord. Brahmati, Paramatmati, Bhagavanti Shabyate, Vedanti Tattva, Tattva Vidas, Yattaj Gyanam Advayam. They had some were bhaktas, some had the view of Savishesh Brahm or Nirvishesh Brahm, but they're all connected. They're all spiritualists. Everyone in Satyuga was a transcendental personality. But in Treta Yuga, then something disappeared. One leg got amputated, cut off. That leg was the leg of what? What leg was lost in Treta Yuga? Which leg? Socham? Kripa? So Krishna, seeing how that now religion was reduced, was only available to 75%, he manifested the Vedas. He manifested in Treta Yuga the three Vedas, Rig Veda, Samaveda, and Yajurveda. So this is the Trayi. This word says Trayi. Trayi refers to the three Vedas. And in these three Vedas, Krishna is explaining the processes of yajna, sacrifice. You say home or yajna, sacrifice. And the purpose of these yajnas is to enable people to satisfy their desires. They're called ritualistic functions. And these this trayi also refers to the three divisions of the three Vedas. Right? Karmakanda, Jnanakanda, and Upasanakanda. Ultimately, the Vedas are trying to lead people gradually from karma to jnana to upasana. And the topmost upasana is Brajabadubir, upasanam. It's explained, Ram Yat Kachit, Brajabadubir upasanam. That Srinath Chakravarti was explaining in summary form the philosophy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he was saying that, he was mentioning, Ram Yat Kachit, that the greatest, he says, what's the beginning of that verse? I forget. You know that verse? Aradyo Bhagavan Brajeshataniyos. Aradyo Bhagavan Brajeshataniyos. Which Bhagavan do the followers of Lord Chaitanya worship? Do they worship Bhagavan Ram? Yes, he's right there. We're worshiping him. Do we worship Vishnu, Narayan? Yes, we worship them all. But specifically, Bhagavan Brajeshataniyo. This is Brajeshataniyo. Brajeshatanu means, Tanu means body. The son of Brajesh. The lord of Braja. Brajamandal. The lord of Brajamandal. The king of Brajamandal. Who is that? Nanda Baba. Nanda Maharaj. So we worship this Krishna. Govinda Damo Dharamadaveti. We have, of course, all Vishnu Tattva is one. They're one in Tattva, but they're different in Ras and Bhav. So we worship the highest expression of Ras, Rasaraj. We worship the highest expression of Bhav, Mahabhav. So when Godhead, or when Bhagavan expresses or displays or shows the highest expression of Ras and Bhav, then Bhagavan appears as Radha Krishna. Rasaraj and Mahabhav, right? So this is Brajeshataniya. So the Vedas, they're teaching, because most people are lusty. Most people, they want to enjoy their senses. So the Vedas try to regulate everyone with karmakanda. Do this yajna and you get a healthy body. Worship Surya, you'll get a healthy body. Worship Indra, you'll get sex power. Worship this, that, the other thing. Worship the Ashwini Kumars or Dhanvantari. And do all these rituals. Do a Shanti Homa. Your wife, you're fighting with your wife and kids in the house. Well, do a Shanti Home. You must have heard Shanti. Shanti, 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 He, Shanti. The only Shanti is if every day the husband brings 1 lakh of rupees. Husband brings in the house 1 lakh of rupees and Shanti. If one, less than 1 lakh, Ashanti. In Kali Yuga, Shanti means paisa. Bina paisa, bina Shanti. So this yajnas were for these giving happiness, fulfillment. But gradually, by doing these yajnas and by performing according to the Vedas, we'll rise to the platform of knowledge. From karma we'll become jnana. We'll get some knowledge, some impersonal knowledge. And then now we come from the karmakanda aspect to the jnana karma aspect. Then we start to think, oh, there's something more than this world. There's something called Paravyom or Vaikuntha. There's something more than the Maya Jagat. There's something more than the Samsara. There's something more than Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadhi, Dukkha, Doshana, Darshanam. There's something called Brahman. Aham Brahmasmi. And I am that Brahmasmi. Aham. My Humta is not that Ahamta Punjabi, Ahamta India, Indian, American. No, I'm Brahman. I'm Jivatma. So this is Gyan. Jnanakanda. But if we pursue Jnanakanda, then if we follow Jnanakanda very nicely, we'll come to Upasanakanda. This is all within the context of the Trahi Veda. We'll come to this platform of Upasana. But some people think that Upasana means Brahman Upasana. Some people think Upasana means Ahangro Upasana. Ahangro Upasana. That I should worship myself. I am Brahman. Soham, soham, Soham Om. Om. Namo Narayan. Namo Narayan. Namo Narayan. Soham. And what do we say? So what? So what? So kya. So kya. So hum, so kya. In so hum, there's no so kya. Suk. Brahma suk is like a drop. This is Brahma, and the Brahma suk is like ek bindu compared to prema suk. Bhakti rasamrita sindhu. Sindhu means sagar. Bhakti ras is a sagar, sindhu, ocean of bliss. So we may come to Upasana Khanda by following the three Vedas, Rig Veda, Sama Veda, Yajur Veda, and we worship Brahman, or the self, the hunger Upasana. The self means I am that is me, I am Brahman. But then, if we go further, because Parvati is asking Shiva, she says, oh Lord Shiva, what is the best form of worship? I see so many people doing Upasana. Even people are worshipping, because even Devata Puja is a type of Upasana, although it's really within the Karmakanda section. I see so many people doing Upasana of various forms. What is the best form of Upasana? Because you're my Guru Pati. You're my husband. And husband is Guru Pati. You're my Guru, my teacher. And you're also a Mahajan. Bhagavat Puran is saying, Swayambhur Narada Shambhu, Prahlado Janako Bhishmo. There's 12 Dwadasa Mahajan. Right? In the Bhagavatam. So one is Shambhu. Shambhu is Shiva. Har Har Mahadev. Right? Har Har Mahadev. Bum Bum Bole. Bolanath. Mahadev. He's also Krishna. He's the expansion of Sankarshan. There's something called Sada Shiva. But there's nothing called Sada Brahma. There's nothing called Sada Indra or Sada Varun. There's only one Deva called Sada Shiva. Because he's Sat, he's transcendental, he's Vishnu Tattva, he's expansion of Sankarshan. Then it is long Tattva, but anyway. So we have to be very careful dealing with Lord Shiva. Vaishnavas should be very careful. Because they have a history. South Indian Vaishnavas are always at war, they're literally at war with the Shaivites. That's why the Shaivites carry these pitchforks and these like swords. Because they would kill the Vaishnavas. I'm telling you, this is 500 years ago. They have wars in South India. Vaishnavas versus the Shaivites. So the Shaivites, they carry their weapon, right? They carry it. And in case they get in a little flare-up, Kalaha? What do you call it? Fighting in India? Hindi? What do you call a fight? Vivaha? Vivad? Vivad. Aaj Vivaha, Kal Vivad. Aaj Vivaha? Vivaha, marriage, and Kal Vivad. Matsha, Votacha. So they would fight and kill each other. And then some king in South India, Jai for the Sardiki Jai. Some king in South India, he would be a Vaishnava. Then the Shaivites would come to him and preach to him, and he would become a Shaivite. Then he would make Shaivite or Shivism, whatever they call it, that religion, he would make it the state religion. And if anybody wouldn't become a Shaivite, they would get killed. This is a history. You can read South India. I'm not making this up. So that king would become, he said, look, in my kingdom, everybody become a worshiper of Shiva, I'll kill you. And so all the Vaishnavas had to get converted or get killed. So just like so many Hindus became Muslims by throwing water on them and breaking their caste and all these things. This is your history. You know, I read the caste system. And so in the same way, this is also history. So when Shiva was answering this question of Parvati, he said, Aradhanam Sarveshu. He said, Aradhanam Sarveshu, Vishnu Aradhanam Sarveshu. Vishnu Aradhanam Sarveshu. Aradhanam. Aradhanam means Upasana. Upasana means worship, puja. So this great Mahajan, Mahadev, he's telling, what is the best form of puja? What is the highest form of Upasana? Vishnu. Vishnu Aradhanam. And this is the very goal of the Vedas, to bring us to Vishnu. Vishnu Upasanam. Worship of Vishnu. So therefore, of course now we have somebody, it's kind of a joke in Mathura, that we have these, some people have a surname, some Brahmins have a surname, Dwivedi or Trivedi. So this word is there, tri means the three Vedas. So a Trivedi, he's supposed to know the three Vedas, Rig, Sama, and Yajur, and be expert, Yajan, Patan, Dan, Pratigraha, Sadkarma, Vipano, Nipro, Nipano, Vipro. That a Brahmin should be Nipun and Sadkarma, six activities. So if someone is a Trivedi or Chaturvedi, then he's expert, Yajan, Patan, in Yajna and sacrifice, and Bhagavat Pat, studying and teaching, and Dan and Pratigraha. Pratigraha, Dan means receiving donations, and Pratigraha means distributing charity, Anakshetra, giving grains, giving Mahaprasad, giving land, giving medicine, giving help, giving Jyotish, Jyotirved, Ayurved, giving knowledge, Pratigraha. But now Brahmins are expert in Dhanam Dehi, give me money, hey, I'm a Brahmin, hey, I'm Brijbasi, hey, I'm Chobe, you're on a yatra, give me money, hey, what's this 10 rupees, what do you think, this 10 rupees, I can't buy a piece of chewing gum, I can't buy a toffee, you want me to curse your wife to have 7 monkeys, she'll give birth to 7 monkeys, they say like this, the Brahmins, you know, they make jokes, and putty, Prabhu, give the Brahmin 50 rupees, it's like this. So we have a joke in Mathura that someone says their name is Trivedi or Chaturvedi. That means he has forgotten the three Vedas. Oh, your name is Trivedi? Oh, that means you don't know, you have forgotten and know nothing about the three Vedas. Oh, your name is Chaturvedi? Oh, you're even bigger. You've forgotten 4 Vedas. You're even a bigger knucklehead or puggle or whatever you say. Haribo. Of course, Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmana Hitaya Ta, Jagat Hitaya Krishnaya, Govindaya Namo Namo. We have all regards for the Brahmins. We also do Brahmin Dan and we worship them, we touch their feet, we pray for their mercy. We are quite well known to the Brahmins in Radhakund and they are well known to us. So we have all regard and respect for them. This is proper. But nevertheless, a spade is a spade, as we say in English. You know, another what the fact is the fact. Kali Yuga is like this. Kali Yuga Brahmins are like this. Kali Yuga Kshatriyas are like this. Kali Yuga Vaishyas are like this. Kali Yuga Sannyasis are like this. Kali Yuga Brahmacharya. It's Kali Yuga. We're all in it. So there are no ideal Vaishyas. There's no ideal Shudras. Everyone, any rich person can tell you. They have to hire servants every 2 weeks. So they hire a servant and he rips off everything. So this is the Shudra is supposed to be honest. So it's like this. So the Vedas are supposed to bring us to this point. So this Trivedi, which is mentioned here, Arjuna, Krishna tells Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, he says, Trigunya Vishaya Veda, the same word, Tri. Trigunya Vishaya Veda, Nirdwanda, what? Nishtrigunya, Vavarjuna. So he's saying the three Vedas, they only deal with Vishayi. Vishayi means samsara, sense gratification. Indriya Priti. I love my senses. I love my body. I decorate it, I pamper it, I ornament it, I bathe it, I dress it, I look at it, I show it off, I talk about it, and I try to encourage other people to glorify it by, you know, making myself fancy. Then when I go outside, people will glorify me, so then I'll get pratishtha. Lobh, pooj, pratishtha. Oh, such a beautiful dress. I mean, if you went outside in some jute, you know, like you buy the bodhi, chini bodhi. Chini bodhi is a jute, no, jute. So you cut up some jute and you put it on and you go out to GK1, M Block Market. Everyone says, oh, Preeti, such a beautiful dress you have. Where did you get it? Oh, I got it in Lajpat Nagar at the Sabji Wallet. It cost 10 rupees. This bodhi is, but it's a little mota. For the winter, it's a little mota, you know, mota bodhi. Only 10 rupees. Oh, how do you like? Oh, it's very natural. It's very natural looking, you know. Earth shades, earth tones, this nice brown color. But it suits you quite nice. Thank you. Who will do like that? Maybe some sadhu, some Jai Gurudev or some, they have these Jai Gurudev babas in Mathura, they wear it like this. You know, you've seen it. so, but lady, you know, she did nothing less than, you know, she's stepping out the house. She's going out of the house to buy tomatoes. She's leaving the house to go buy 1 kilo of tomatoes. Very, very important mission. It's a very important service. She's going out to buy tomatoes for her lunch, you know, program for the husband and children. So before she goes out to buy the tomatoes, it takes 5 minutes to go walk to the store, 5 minutes to walk back. But preparation is 1.5 hours. So the Vedas, Trigunya Vishaya Veda, that it's all, the Vedas are all about sense gratification. So Krishna tells Arjuna, be transcendental. Be transcendental to all these Vedas. Be free, don't be near dvandva. Don't be affected by dualities, dvandva. Near dvandva. Be free from dualities of safety and anxiety. Don't be in any anxiety. Just worship me. So this is actual, the goal of the Vedas is to bring us to Krishna Upasana. The worship of Krishna. And this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give us, the essence of the Vedas. Because the Vedas are very, very vast. 18 Puranas, 108 Upanishads, and we think that's the end of it. But there's something called Upaveda. There's Upaveda, and there's Upanishad. There's literally thousands of Upanishads. The major ones are 108. I can't even read that. But actually, there's thousands of Upanishads. So many Vedic literatures, so it becomes very much confusing. So therefore, how to get to the essence. The essence of the Vedas. So this is what this verse is talking about. The essence of the Vedas is Devaki Putra. Devaki Putra Upasanam. Devaki Putra Upasanam, to worship the son of Devaki. Because Vidura is asking, Uddhav, please tell me about Devaki, the mother of Krishna. Because actually all the Vedas are simply, as this purport Prabhupada's mentioning, all the Vedas are simply Krishna. They're actually leading us and pointing us to Krishna. Because even if the Vedas in Karmakanda, they're telling about worship of different devatas, devata puja, different rituals and yajnas and homas, all those devatas are simply parts and parcels of the Lord. So when you're glorifying, when you're saying Shivam, Shivam, Om Namo Shivaya, all this is Nam Sankirtan. It's called Gona, Gona Nam. Gona Nam means secondary names of the Lord, which describe the Guna and Lakshana. These names, these devatas, devata nam, they describe the qualities and attributes, the characteristics of Krishna. So when they want so much sense gratification, or they want money or power or position, so they're worshiping Shiva, so they're saying Om Namo Shivaya. The word Shivam means auspicious. Auspicious. Mangalam. Mangalam Bhavatu. Badram. Means Mangalam Badram. It means auspicious. So this word Shiva, of course it means a particular person also. An individual, but also it's a glorification of Bhagavan Sri Krishna, because Bhagavan Sri Krishna is completely auspicious. Everything about Krishna is auspicious. The dust of his feet is auspicious. His Nam, Rup, Gun, Lila, Dham, Parishishta. Parishishta is all Vishesh. It's all very special and very auspicious. Any contact with anything, Tadiyanam Samarchanam. Tadiyanam Samarchanam, anything, any contact, Krishna Tadiyanam Samarchanam. If you contact anything that's directly related to Krishna, you'll get mukti. You'll get perfection, siddhi. If you contact Krishna's dham, his name, his qualities, anything, his prasad. So therefore, there is no one, if you compare to all the devatas or all the expressions or aspects of Godhead, there's no one more auspicious than Krishna. Because anyone who comes to Krishna, anyone who approaches Krishna from any angle, from any viewpoint, calm, crowed, low, doesn't matter what your bhav is or what your angle is or what your motivation is, if you approach Krishna, you will get fulfillment. Akama sarva kamova moksha kamu dharidi tivrena bhakyogena ijatya purushampuram. He's saying that this bhakti means Krishna bhakti. There's no other bhakti but Krishna bhakti, Vishnu bhakti. So, but specifically when we approach Krishna, anyone in any yoga at any time will get perfection and get all auspiciousness in their life from Krishna. And there's so many examples of that. Tripurnaka, Ravana's Bainji. His sister approached Ram. And Ram is Vishnu Tattva, he's Bhagavan, Bhagavan Sri Ram. And she proposed to him. She wanted to have relationship, intimate relationship with him. He said, not possible. So that wasn't very auspicious for her. She approached Ram with an auspicious proposal. It's a very auspicious proposal for a king to be approached by a beautiful lady, offering her body for his pleasure. That's auspicious. At least the king will think that. Brahmachari won't think that's very auspicious. He'll say, let me out of here. Let me out of here. But for the king, this is very auspicious. But did she get an auspicious result? Did Shupurnaka get an auspicious result by approaching Ram? Mangalam, whatever you say, result. Auspicious result. How do you say result? Mangalam phalam. Or what do you say? Badram phalam? Shubhafal. Yeah, Shubhafal. Did Shupurnaka get a Shubhafal by approaching Ram? What happened to Shupurnaka? Nak Hogya. Khan Hogya. Is this Khan? Khan Hogya? Nak Hogya? Kargya. Kargya? Nak Kargya. Is that auspicious? Ask some lady here, would you like me to do some auspicious thing for you? Yes, what is your auspicious proposal? I will cut off your nose and ear. It's very Ati Ati Badram. She'll say, get out of here, you stupid. So she did not get an auspicious result. But when she came again, but because Ram is not all that mean. He's actually with Ram and Bhagavan. Bhagavan is Bhagavan. He's expressing himself in different ways. So Ram is also Krishna. Krishna is also Ram. But in the form of Ram, Krishna is concealed. So Ram is saying, okay, we've done this because this is a particular leela that I'm having, this Ekpatni Brata in this Treta Yuga. So this is my Brata and I'm teaching Dharma. I'm Dharmapati. I'm Maryada Avatar. So I have to enforce these things. Please don't mind. But don't worry. I will give us. It seems like inauspicious now, but when I come as Krishna, I will make everything auspicious for you. That's why Krishna is Ati Ati Shivam. He's excessive. Vishesh Shivam. He's the most special Shivam. Only Krishna is the most auspicious form of Godhead because, as is one example, and there's thousands of other ones. When Shupurnaka got that misfortune in Treta Yuga, she came again in Dwapara Yuga. And she appeared in Dwapara Yuga in Mathura. And her name was Kubja Trivakra. Kubja Trivakra. Kubja was like hunchback, like bent over. And she was doing seva, chandan seva for Kamsa. So Krishna went there and he gave her some back adjustments. Adjusted her spinal, lumbar vertebrae. She gave her some, actually it was her cervical. She had spondylitis. The Kubja had spondylitis. So Krishna did a little surgery there in the streets of Mathura. Typical Indian doctor, you just practice anywhere, right? in the village, anybody's a doctor. They had to open some shack and say, doctor. We call that quackter. Not quack, he's a quack. So Krishna, he started off quackery, I guess. He was walking down the street. He didn't have an MD. He didn't have a degree in medicine. He didn't go to Ames. He didn't have any certification from the government of India. He was totally a quack, right? And this lady was so stupid. She didn't ask for his credentials. She said, "Do you have a degree? Did you go to a medical college?" He said, "No, look, I know this back cracking. I can fix you up." Oh, but she had faith. She had faith. She had Shraddha. So then she said, okay, and then she became so nice. So then Krishna, of course, pleased her and fulfilled her desires. So in this way, Krishna is auspicious. So even when people are doing this karma kandya, worshipping different devatas, and they're chanting Om Namo Shivaya, they're actually, indirectly, they're getting sukriti, they're getting bhakti sukriti because they're glorifying Krishna as Shivam. That's one reason why karmakanda eventually leads to jnanakanda, and jnanakanda leads to upasanakanda, and upasanakanda, if it's done correctly, will lead to Vishnu upasana and Krishna upasana. So what is the ultimate goal of the Vedas? As this verse is telling, Prabhupada says in the purport, he says, yagyavitanam. Yagyavitanam, this verse, yagyavitanam means the abundance, or what does it say, vitanam. Spreading the sacrifice, the yajna. So the Vedas, of course, teach sacrifice. They teach yajna and hom. But the ultimate sacrifice is to sacrifice ourselves on the altar of surrender at the lotus feet of Krishna. Because this is the goal of the Vedas, and Krishna is telling that in the Bhagavad Gita, 15th chapter. Sarvasya cha ham riddhi sane vishto vatasmritir gyanam apohanam cha vedaischa savera ham eva vedyo vedanta krit eva vid eva cha ham. Krishna is telling, from me comes all remembrance, smriti, and apohanam, forgetfulness, and from me comes all knowledge. Vedanta vid, Vedanta vid, Vedanta. What is the end of knowledge? Veda anta. What is the conclusion? What is the bottom line? What is the conclusion? Krishna is saying, I am that conclusion. Krishna. The conclusion is Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Bhagavan Krishna Upasana. Vedanta Krit Vedavid Evachaham. Vedavid. I am to be known by the Vedas. This is to be known. That's why Prabhupada says here in the purport, there is no difference between the Vedas and Krishna. The Vedas aim at understanding the Lord, and the Lord is the Vedas personified. Devaki is compared to the meaningful Vedas and the Lord to their purpose. So Krishna is telling here that this is actually the goal of the Vedas, is to understand Him. And in the Bhagavatam, all the yajnas and all the sacrifices, they're very difficult to do in Kali Yuga because there's so much dosh. Bhagavatam is telling Kalair Doshanad Hey Rajan. Hey King, this Kali Yuga is full of dosh. As you know, dosh means faults. Faults, difficulties, contaminations, problems, dosh. What are those faults? Mantra dosh, desh dosh, kala dosh, dravya dosh. So how can we do yajna? Because the dravya which is used in yajna must be pure. Pure ghee, dravya means the articles. The articles that are used, the ghee, the wood, a special type of wood. Now, people do yajnas. I've seen with my own eyes, I can't believe it. People do yajnas and homas, and what do they use for lakri, for wood? They go to the fruitwala, to the falwala, and they say, can you give me some of your old boxes, your safe, from your safe, your fal, no, they're called wooden crates. Can you give me some of your old boxes? He says, oh, why? Oh, I'm doing a yajna. I'm doing a yajna. I've seen so many times in people's houses doing shanti, and they're using the old wooden crates, which is mango wood, or I don't know what it is, it's pine, or some inauspicious lakri, because there's mangalam and amangalam. Everything is like this. There's good and bad everywhere. There's good wood and bad wood. It's like this. And there's sattvic birds and there's sattvic paki and there's tamasic paki. There's sattvic pashu and tamasic pashu. There's sattvic admi and tamasic admi. It's like this. The trigunas are there. So there's dravya dosh. There's faults in the dravya. Then people, they do the yajna and they use dalda. They use dalda. Swaha, dalda, swaha, dalda. And what does Vishnu say? Yajna vai Vishnu. Yajna vai Vishnu. This yajna is Vishnu. Because swaha is Agni's patni. And Agni is a Vishnu bhakta. So he's not going to eat anything but prasad. So, and he's pretty lazy, so he has his wife do everything. So then the sweet rice is offered, the kheer is offered, the ghee is offered, so many things are offered in a proper yajna. So then we say swaha. So Agni's wife, she takes it all and she offers it to Vishnu. Because she's a bhakta. Like any ladies here, if we give them some bhoga, what will they do with it? Oh, nice. They're not going to eat it. Krishna Dasi, Chaitanya Dasi, whoever they are, Dasis. They're going to take that bhoga and they're going to put tulsi on it and offer it to the Bhagavan. And then they'll bring it, then they'll give it to their husband. So, swaha, she takes all these offerings, she gives it to Vishnu, and he's satisfied. Then he gives it to Agni, then he has, then she takes. Parampara. But the problem is that Vishnu only eats shud gayaka ghee. Is it right? Shud gayaka ghee. Pure cow's ghee, not pure, it doesn't even exist vegetable ghee. It's like saying sky flowers. Pushpa, akash, what is it? Akas pushpa. Oh, what kind of flowers is it? Oh, you get, go akas pushpa. There's no such thing. There's no such thing as vegetable ghee. There's no such thing as buffalo ghee. It just doesn't exist. You think it exists, but in Shastra, ghee means cow. So all these swaha, it's like, haribo. And so Dravya Dosh, Kala Dosh, no one knows the right time to do the yajna. I've watched people do yajnas. The guy is facing west. He's a Brahmin. You know, Mathura Brahmin, he's doing yajna, he's looking west. What do you call that? Pashim Mukh. Pashim Dig. Pashim Dig Mukh. You're supposed to face north or east. What is it? Dig Dosh, Kala Dosh, Desh Dosh, the place. And then the Brahmin, he has some book, he doesn't even know the mantras. He's reading the book. And because he stayed up all night watching some video. He got some pornographic movie or something from, you know, Sweden. And he's watching some cable TV, and he took rest at 4 o'clock in the morning. He's up all night watching video. He's stumbling on the mantras. At 9 o'clock, he has to do a Shanti Homa in your house. He can't pronounce the mantras. So therefore, the Bhagavatam, Vyasamuni, Krishna, the incarnation of Krishna, he's saying that, Krishna Varnam, Trisa Krishnam, Sango Pangasha Parshnam, Yagya Sankirtana Prayarya, Janti Hisumedashaha. Vyasadeva is telling, what kind of yajna can we do in this Kali Yuga? What is the faultless yajna? What do you say, like karma free or no side effects? What is the dosh-free yajna?
Nirdosh.
Nirdosh yajna. Nirdosh yajna is Sankirtan yajna. Right? Sankirtan yajna. Haribol. That's right. Haribol. So this yajna has no faults. There's no problem. Because the Vedas, people get sidetracked by the Vedas. And Lord Chaitanya is warning us. This is Sundaram Kavitam. Sundaram Kavitam. This looks very beautiful. Oh, if I do this puja, I'll get this. If I do that puja, I'll get this. Oh, I want this, I want that. But it keeps you in the samsara. You stay in the cycle of birth and death. Lord Chaitanya is saying, give up all these wants. Don't be bewildered. Don't be bamboozled. Bamboozled or confused by these Vedic... It's like somebody like dangling something in front of... Ooh, look, you want this? Look at this. These enticements to... do ritualistic things and waste your time. Because again, you'll have to take birth. Either take birth in India, or if you're really lucky, you'll take birth in America. So many Indians want to go to America, right? Or you'll take birth in Swarga. But then you have to die. Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Punar Avrtin Ardhana. You know, they have to take birth again. From all these planets. So Lord Chaitanya is saying, Dhanam, the Janam, the Sundarim, Kavitam Va Jagadisha Kamaye. Sundaram Kavitam. This means, beautiful, this kavi, it looks very poetic. The Sanskrit shlokas look very attractive and very poetic. Beautiful, sundaram, sundara kavi. Oh, I want this, I'm attracted to this. Don't be misled. This is like jadu, you know, jadu, hypnotism. Like, what is it, jadu, magic? Jadu? It's like some jadu. Now you see it, now you don't. See? So he's saying, like, don't be misled by that. Because in this age, this is not the age for the yajna. These other yajnas, krite yad dayatom vishnam, tretiyam yajato makai, dvaparye parichayayam, kalo tad hari kirtanat. Another verse is there. Kalo tad hari kirtanat. In Kali Yuga, hari kirtan, that's all. That's all that's required. We do sankirtan, hari kirtan, and everything will attain perfection. Sam siddhir hari toshanam. Sam siddhir hari toshanam. Hari Toshan, Hari Tosh. If we please Hari, then if he is pleased, Bhagavan Kushi, Apko Kushi, Bhagavan Ne Kushi, Apko Ne Kushi. If Bhagavan is happy, if he's pleased, then all desirable things will attain. Everything will be attained. And the real thing to attain is perfection, love of God. Krishna Prema Pumarta Mohan. Krishna Prema Pumarta Mohan. This is the art. Because this verse says artam. Artam. What is the object? Kam, krodh, lo, we say, what is it? What is that? Dharma, art, kam, moksh. Dharma, religion, and art, wealth, opulence, facility, then enjoyment, kam, and then, oh, I'm fed up with this. Let me get liberation. Merging. Give it all up. It's another type of enjoyment. This nirvishesh moksha is another type of enjoyment. Some people want to enjoy the body, and some people want to enjoy not giving up the body. It's still vishayi. Bhukti, bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakale ashanta. Bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakale ashanta. Krishna bhakta naishkam ata eva shanta. Eva shanta. Certainly, indeed, unequivocally, absolutely, he is shanti. He is peaceful. Naishkam. He has no desire in this world. Nadanam na janam na sundaram kavitam va jagadishkam. Mama janmani janmani vishar bhavatat bhakti rahoitukhidai. Bhagavad Bhakti, that is all he wants to do is please Krishna, make Krishna happy. But everyone else is the mukti, bhukti, mukti siddhi kami. They're kamis. They're full of lust. So even a muktivad, someone wants liberation. He wants to enjoy being nothing. Enjoy having no body. Enjoy annihilating the self. It's a type of enjoyment. So there's no peace there. So this verse, Prabhupada is making a connection here. He's mentioning about Devaki because Devaki is mentioned in the context of the Trivedas. It says, Trai yata yagyavitanam martam. Artam, the purpose, the goal. So the artam, as I said, prema pum arta mahan. Prema pum arta mahan. Pum means pumsa. Pumsa means man, person. This says, Mahan, what is the Artha Mahan? What is the great goal? This puny Artham of sense gratification, come, all this, enjoy the body, enjoy the senses, that is puny, insignificant, trivial. There's nothing. What is the Maha Artham? Prema Pum Artha Mahan. Artha Mahan, what is the great thing? Like a man is judged by his ideal. You can judge a man by his ideal. What is your ideal? What are you aspiring for? What are you trying to be? Like Prabhupada told the story. He said, if you want to be, you should try for to be something great. And he told the story about this hunter. And this hunter, he was a hunter, the kshatriya, whatever. And they said, what are you going out to hunt for? He said, I am going to get a rhinoceros. You know the rhinoceros in Africa? He's a very ferocious animal, a big horn on his head, and he can turn over Jeeps and Land Rovers and these Marutis and Suzuki. He just put his horn, flipped them over like a pancake or something. Nothing. They weigh like 2,000 kilos or something. Something like that, a huge thing. Rhinoceros in Africa. So, if he says he's going out, oh, you're going to get a rhinoceros. Hunt. Oh, you're very courageous, very, very fearless, strong person. And then if he comes, he gets that rhinoceros, everybody will say, oh, what a great, you are, you know, a hunter. But if you ask some hunter, what are you going out to get? You're going hunting in the forest with all your retinue and entourage. And, oh, I'm going to get one cargos. Cargos, rabbit. I'm going hunting for one rabbit. People say, one rabbit? Anybody can get a rabbit. You go with one carrot and say, here, come on. Uh-huh. And then the rabbit comes, you grab him by the ears and you have him. Anybody can catch a rabbit, you take one gajar, a piece of gajar, and you get a cargos. You show them like this and they'll come and take it. So that's not a very glorious thing. So Prabhupada said we should have a high ideal. Yes, in this life I will realize Krishna. In this very life I'll have darshan of Radha and Krishna. They'll become so pleased. They'll be so pleased and Guruji will be so pleased by my seva, by my bhav, my seva and sharanagati and samarpanam, my surrender and worship and puja. Guruji and Radha and Krishna will be so pleased that they will grant me darshan. In this very life I will see them. And Krishna will put his hand on my head and bless me. And he will smile upon me and accept me as his own. This must happen in this life. Now, perfection now. People should wear t-shirts. They have all these t-shirts. I love Vrindavan. Perfection now. Prema now. Not 300 lifetimes from now. Oh, anyway, I just chant Hare Krishna eventually. You know, Judd Bharat, you know, he took 3 lifetimes. You know, I read in the 5th canto, you know, Judd Bharat. But every lifetime he was Krishna conscious. He was chanting Hare Krishna as a deer. He was doing Nam Sankirtan. Now, what's the guarantee? You become a dog in Delhi, maybe you don't chant, you know. So we have this human form of life, so we should get perfection right now. And don't gamble with your life. Oh, anyway, maybe next life. Next life, who knows next life? We know now. So now he's saying that Devaki, he's asking Devaki, because Devaki, as the verse is saying, she was carrying the personification of the Vedas in her womb. personification of the Vedas is Krishna. Krishna says, Vedaham, Vedaham, Vedanta Krit Vedaham, Vedaham, I am the Veda. In the 15th chapter of Gita, verse 15, he says, Vedaham, I am the Veda. So Krishna and the Veda is non-different. So what is happening here? Why is it explaining the Devaki? Because it says the Vedas are a reservoir of sacrificial purposes. In other words, the Vedas are all about yajna. So the daughter, Devaki, conceived Krishna in her womb. So now why we say in this verse, Vyasadeva is telling us about Devaki, then he's talking about the Vedas. So what is the connection? So this we have to think deeply. Of course, we have the fortune of understanding and getting the vision of the Acharyas, the Mahajans, and the Tikkas of the Acharyas. So it's explained in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, when Devaki, she was having her different children, then what happened is, coming in the heart of Vasudev, her husband Vasudev, coming in her heart of Vasudev, in the heart of Vasudev came Vasudev. Krishna entered the heart of Vasudev. The husband of Devaki, Krishna, entered his heart. Now how did that happen? That happened because his heart was pure. His heart became a dham. Our heart must become a dham. A dham means the abode of the Lord, the house of the Lord, the place of the Lord's pastimes, the dham, the holy dham. So his whole consciousness was called Vasudev Chit. Vasudev Chit. His consciousness was pure. So then he attained Vasudev Chit. He attained this pure spiritual consciousness. So therefore, his consciousness became attractive. Our consciousness must become attractive to the Lord. Sankarshan. The name Krishna means attractive. To attract the Lord. When Krishna's name and form are always sitting in our mind and heart, we will become attractive to the Lord. Krishna is all attractive, but we must also become attractive. Vasudev, he became attractive to the Lord because he had Vasudev Chit. He had pure consciousness. So we have to attain Vasudev, the consciousness of Vasudev, Vishuddha Sattva, pure consciousness, and that's attained by chanting holy name. So our consciousness will become so attractive, our heart will become so attractive that Krishna will think, oh, I'm very attractive. It's called Bhakti Sankarshan, the attractive power of bhakti. That Krishna will be attracted. Your heart has become like a big magnet. A huge magnet. Your heart is so powerful magnet that it's attracting me all the way from Goloka. Golokera Premadan Harinam Sankirtan. Your Harinam Sankirtan, Golokera Premadan, has attracted me. Just imagine if I have a huge magnet. And I have a piece of iron on the other side of that room, and it's called an electromagnet. Like in America, they have these junkyards where they put old cars. And they have something called an electromagnet. It's on a crane. You know these kind of cranes that go, what do you call it? This kind of, it's called a crane, you know? Like for picking up these old cars on the road. So this is electromagnet. So this magnet goes like this, and then they turn on the electricity, and then it picks up a car. The whole car jumps off the ground and hits the magnet. How much a car weighs, you know, in the old days, these big American cars, very heavy. And then it takes it like this and drops it. They turn off the electricity and the electromagnet stops and drops. Very, very powerful. This magnet, it's not that big either, but it's magnetized and enhanced by electricity, electromagnet. So much attractive power, karshan. So this is the power of Shuddha Chit, Cheto Dharpan, Chit Dharpan. When our chit becomes, the mirror of our consciousness becomes totally shuddha or pure, then Krishna is millions and billions of miles away. On the farthest reaches of the Paravyom, he becomes attracted. Boom. Oh, there's a... Oh, there's a baby in my heart. He's crying. Oh, Devaki Nandan, Krishnaya Vasudevaya, Devaki Nandanaya cha, Nandagopa Kumaraya, Govindaya Namo Namaha. Devaki Nandan, Yashoda Nandan, oh, Krishna Kumar, he's in my heart. Oh, I better rock him. Hare Krishna. You ever see some people chant, they go like this. You know, they go, Hare Krishna, or even when they chant Java, they go like this, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna. And according to yoga shastras, you're not supposed to move when you meditate. But anyway, that's another thing. Because the vritti, the mano vritti becomes disturbed. That's why you sit like, you know. If you're going to chant, then you go like, anyway, that's another thing. They go like this. So sometimes when I see like this, especially if I see some ladies going like this, I think, oh, they must have Krishna in their heart and they're rocking him to sleep. Because either Krishna goes to sleep or they go to sleep. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So they're rocking themselves to sleep, but I try to think that the Krishna's in their heart and they're rocking him to sleep. So, then, if we attain this consciousness, this Vasudev consciousness, then Vasudev, Sri Krishna, will come into our heart. And then as Devaki, because there was no physical connection between Devaki, what happened was that Vasudev, from his heart, he transferred Krishna into the heart of Devaki. Then now Krishna is manifested in her heart. And then he came out and before her to give darshan. So this is what happens with guru and disciple. Guru and disciple. Guru gives mantra. Guru inseminates. He inseminates the chit with mantra. It's a pregnancy. The guru is giving initiation. He's giving mantra. So he's impregnating the chit with mantra. Now, if we chant that mantra properly and do seva, right? Upadek shanti te gyanam, what is it? Tadvidi pranipatena pariprashnena seva. Pariprashna sevaya. We do seva, guru seva, without, you know, near kapat, without kapat or cheating or anything. Then what happens is that consciousness, that mantra creates Vasudev consciousness in our heart. We attain this Vasudev chit, this pure chit. Cheto darpanam, marjanam. And then when the consciousness is pure, then Krishna will take birth in our hearts. Just as Krishna is taking, in other words, what's happening is Guru, through mantra, Guru is transferring, just as Vasudev transferred Krishna from his heart to the heart of Devaki, and she gave birth. So Guru is transferring Krishna from his heart through the medium of mantra into the heart of the disciple. Now Krishna is taking birth there, but he's dormant. And Devaki, in nine months, then Krishna came out. So for us, it may be nine lifetimes before Krishna comes out. Krishna, in other words, listen, Vasudev transferred Krishna to Devaki, to her heart. And she, and externally, she exhibited what we call pregnancy. Became, like, very large and all these things. And then, 9 months later, she gave birth. So Guru has put Krishna in our heart through mantra. So 9 months later, we should give birth. We should be pure devotees. But now we say, oh, I've been initiated 9 years. My baby is still sleeping. My baby he's not growing very much. My Krishna baby, my baby Krishna is in my heart, but he's really small. I think he's only like a pea or something. You know, on the 7 days, it's like a little pea, and then it becomes like this. So it has to grow. So we should understand this, because when Krishna actually appears in our heart, it's just like Devaki. When you read the description of Devaki, Kamsa was amazed. Wow! What's happened? When he saw Devaki, because who is Devaki and to Kamsa? What is the relationship, Devaki and Kamsa? Sister. It's his sister. He grew up with her. He played with her. He wrestled with her. He slapped her. She slapped him. They ate food together. They were just like any brother and sister, right? You have to understand, they grew up. So he knew everything, how she looked and how she grew up and everything. And she got married to Vasudev, and she had so many children, 6, 7 children. And now, all of a sudden, he saw something very extraordinary. When he came to see Devaki, his sister, he saw that she was glowing. She was glowing. She was radiant. She was like full of tej and jyoti. something very extraordinary had happened. He could understand, there's something happened to my sister. It appears that Krishna has taken birth in her heart. I think my enemy is, she is carrying my death in her heart. Because she's so effulgent and so attractive and so beautiful. And this is exactly, this description that Kamsa gives of Devaki is exactly the description of any devotee who has the, where that event takes place, where Krishna takes birth in his heart. If he's carrying Krishna in his heart, then he will become very effulgent. He will become very attractive and very otherworldly and different. The example is that Prabhupada, sometimes he would meet some saintly people, some priests or rabbis or whatever, on the plane when he was flying from temple to temple. And they would confide in him. They would sit with him. Swamiji, I would like to ask you something. He said, I see that your young boys and girls, young men and women that are with you, that they were formerly, they were Catholics, they were Christians, they were Jews, and there are men, there are ladies, we know them. But now we see they're with you, they're so bright-faced, their faces are so bright, they look so clean, and so happy, and so effulgent. Now, they don't use that word, but they say, your face is very bright. And then, and what is the, what is your secret? How are they? You have some special Chavan Prash you're giving them? You're giving them some Makardwaj? You're giving them Makardwaj or Rasayana? What are you giving them? He said, No. I am giving them God. I am giving them God. And then they would say, but Swamiji, we were also giving them God. You know, Allah, Jehovah, Yahweh, Laga, you know, different gods. Yes, you are giving, but not completely. Because Prabhupada's very, you know, loving and careful not to hurt anyone. He says, yes, you were giving the boys and girls, but somehow not fully. So they didn't exhibit their full potential. Like this, Prabhupada's very gentle. But they were very appreciative. So this is the point. So these Vedas, you know, we should not get bewildered trying to become, you know, study all these Vedas. It's too much difficult. And then one purport in the Bhagavatam, it says, don't become an intellectual ass. Don't become an intellectual ass carrying the heavy load of the Vedas. Don't become an intellectual ass carrying the heavy weight of useless knowledge. Because all of this knowledge, unless it liberates you from birth and death, it is all useless. Ayurveda, Jyotirveda, all these Vedas, they're helpful. They have some purpose, some use, but not ultimate use. Because really the problem is janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi. The problem is birth and death, samsara chakra. So we should not be like the ass, but we should be like the honeybee. The honeybee flies into the garden and he takes the essence. It's called a saragrahi. And I think maybe it's Bengali or something. It says saragrahi. Bhaktivinoda uses this term. Sara means essence. Saragrahi means we should be an essence seeker. We should seek the essence. The madhukar, the honeybee, goes into the garden and he takes the essence. The essence is nectar. The nectar, the amrit. He takes the flower and he flies away. When he leaves the garden, he doesn't take the bush with him, the rose bush. He doesn't take the garden. He goes in and takes the essence. So we should learn a lesson. Bhagavan Dattatreya is telling in 11th canto of Bhagavatam, we should learn a lesson from the honeybee, the madhukar. Madhukar? Madhukar means honeybee? Honeybee. Madhukar. Bumblebee, honeybee. You know, Brahmargeet. So we should learn a lesson from the honeybee. Honeybee, he goes in, forget the petals, forget the flowers, forget the garden, doesn't go in, nectar, I'm out. Like, so we should be like a honeybee and approach the Vedas. Approach the Vedas like a madhukar and take the essence. Extract the essence of the Vedas. The essence of the Vedas is Prem, Krishna Prem. And this is the essence of the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Premam Pumartha Mahan. So the Vedas, the Vedas, that's why it says the Vedas are non-different from Krishna. Krishna was in the womb of Devaki, that means the Vedas were there. So the Vedas, by studying Veda, you should realize the form of Krishna. Realizing the form of Krishna means you have a sambandha with Krishna. Sambandha means a relationship. And all relationships are based on service. Service is the expression of love. So the sambandha with Bhagavan is prem sambandha. So there's sambandha gyan, abhideya gyan, or abhideya sambandha tattva, abhideya tattva, and prayojan tattva. Prayojan means the necessity, the ultimate necessity, the goal, the perfection. The perfection of Vedic study is prema. The perfection of Dharma is Prema Dharma. So Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we're teaching Radha Govinda Prema. This is the Prayojan. This is the conclusion. This is the Vedanta. This is the real Vedanta. The fullest Vedanta, the conclusion of Veda is Prema, Krishna Prema. So this is the teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we can be an essence seeker. Yes, I want the Prema. How do you get it? Chant Hare Krishna, surrender to Guru, serve Guru, and we'll attain Krishna Prema. Shri Bhagavat Purana Ki. So, some question? Srila Prabhupada Ki. Question, yes, sir. The question is being asked, what is pure heart or pure consciousness? Pure heart or pure consciousness is Ashvashiva Parvatam Panashtama Madarshanam Mamantam Karotuva Yata Tata Vavidanantam Apato Matprananatastu Saivan Apraha. The last shloka of Shikshastakam describing the actual svabhava or the nature of Srimati Radharani. Pure consciousness or pure chit means moment to moment to moment to think how to give happiness and pleasure to Krishna. This is pure consciousness. Every single moment, how can I make Krishna? Krishna, this is the definition. Anya bilashita shunyam jnana karma dhyanavritam anukulyena krishnanu. Krishna anukul. Anushilanam, Krishna anushilanam. We should be acting, thinking, feeling, speaking, desiring everything to give pleasure moment to moment to Krishna. This is pure consciousness. When the consciousness is pure, there's no desire for mukti, there's no desire for bhukti, there's no desire for indriya sukh or any kind of happiness. Because that is our swarup. This is the perfection, the sarup of the jiva, is seva, seva sarup. Jivera sarupaya krishnera nityadas. The sarup, this is, we have rupam, tanu, kalevaram, shavir, but this is asat. This is not sat sarup, this is asat. Indian, Punjabi, Gujarati, American, this is not our swarup, this is only some covering, this is avritam. Avritam means covering. We have to become anavritam, free from all covering. Karam, jnana,